One of my closest friends at college was a young man by the name of Mark Chiesa. He was from Cuernavaca, Mexico. I say was because he is deceased. He died of cancer. But Mark and I were pretty close friends when at Southwestern University. After graduating, he went back to work in Cuernavaca. His family owned a textile factory, and he was part of the family's business. And so he went back, and I went on to seminary. His family invited me to spend that break between Christmas and to spend New Year's in Cuernavaca with he and his family. So in 1984, that Christmas, I went over there to spend New Year's with Marcos and his family in Cuernavaca. And Cuernavaca is known as the city of the eternal spring because it's like springtime 11 and a half months out of the year. It is just so, so, so beautiful. Every morning, I would hitch a ride from Marcos as he went to work, and he would drop me off in the plaza in the downtown Cuernavaca, where I would go to a local cafe, and they would serve the best huevos rancheros and hot cup of strong coffee, right? And I would have that every morning. I would have that every morning. And I would take long walks around Cuernavaca, and enjoy myself. I love Mexican history as well. I love history in general, but Cuernavaca has a lot of history related to the Mexican Revolution, one of them, and not a fan of Pancho Villa, but I am a fan of Emiliano Zapata, he's got a lot of good things to say. He's Mexico's Matthew Henry. Give me liberty or give me death. And so I went over there and went to church, and I visited some of the historic places. And on the last day after my breakfast, I decided to go to the market square that I heard was on the other side of town. So I started towards the other side of town. To get there, you had to cross a bridge. And I noticed that every 5 to 10 feet or so, there were piles of clothes along the sidewalk. As you walked across the bridge, you walked by them. And so I was one of the first people walking, well, the only person walking on the bridge, and as I walked close to a pile of clothes, a long, skinny arm would emerge from the pile of clothes, begging for something. I don't scare easily, but that scared me. That spooked me. I had to catch my breath a little bit, had a little bit of a rush of anxiety, didn't know where to run to, right? It was just too creepy for me. There were the poorest of the poor. The poorest of the poor. And I couldn't help them. I didn't know how. I spent some years in Laredo, as you know, and I had to learn pretty quick that did not serve my faith to get into the geopolitical conversation between people in Mexico and people in the United States and refugees across the border. But people knew that they could come to the Methodist Church and get food. And one day a family showed up. A family showed up, and they were hungry, and they were smelly, and they were desperate. And so there's some showers there in the church, there at First United Methodist Church in Laredo. And I made for them some macaroni and cheese, right? And I had some bottles of apple juice, right? And I served them, and I saw this family cry as they ate their meal. I provided for them a place and an opportunity for them to take their shower and get refreshed as they made their second leg of the journey to God knows where. It was my duty and is our duty as disciples of Jesus Christ to help others without question, without judgment, because God helps us as well. Thus, our story about Lazarus. I'm not just saying this story. It's in the scriptures. Jesus is telling this story about a rich man and Lazarus. Now, the rich man lived in a fine house, lived in a gated community, and he wore fine linen and purple, not the rough cloth that people wore every day. And purple was expensive clothing dye, all right? Go Punchers, but it also meant, you know, expensive clothing dye. So this man was super wealthy. And he was outside the city gates, and he could see that Lazarus could see that he would have enjoyed eating the crumbs that fell from the man's table. And the dogs licked the sores of Lazarus' feet. Lazarus died and went to Abraham's bosom, went to Abraham's side. The rich man died and went to hell. And there, burning in hell, the rich man saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and said, "Gosh, please let Lazarus dip his finger in a cool bowl of water to come cool my tongue because I'm suffering so much." And Abraham said, "I can't do that. There's like this gorge in between us. There's this canyon in between us, and we can't cross it." Okay, I can't do that. So the rich man asked Abraham, "Please send Lazarus to my brothers so that they won't suffer the torment that I am suffering." And Abraham said, "I can't do that either. Cannot do that either, because they have the law of the prophets. They have the teachings of the faith to remind them of how important it is to help those who are in need." Now, the reason that Jesus tells this parable, and it is a parable, is because the Pharisees were lovers of money. Now, there's nothing wrong with loving money, right? There really isn't. Money serves a lot of good purposes. Money is a good thing. However, what's going on in this parable is that Jesus is speaking to a group of people who have this understanding of the prosperity writings in Scripture that say that the righteous will prosper and the wicked will suffer. So the Pharisees are thinking to themselves, "You know, the reason I got it made is because I'm pretty freaking righteous, right? I got it made. And the reason that Lazarus is struggling there at my gates is because he's been corrupt. He's been wicked, and he's suffering." And that's not entirely true. Whenever we go to a city, we see people at a stoplight, right? Sometimes we're walking on a sidewalk, and there's a homeless person there sitting on a cardboard or newspaper, and they're begging for some food. And sometimes there's a dog, right? Sometimes there's a dog with them. We think to ourselves, oh, this person has chosen that lifestyle, you know, which may be right. Or there's agencies to help people like that, which is true. Be careful, those people can be violent, and that's possible. But the truth of the matter is that our scriptures are very clear in the teaching that we are to provide assistance to people who struggle, period. Without judgment, without any geopolitical conversations, without determining as to whether these people have other resources or have chosen this way of life or just plain lazy, that's not what our call is. So many of the people that are homeless are there not by their own choice. Most people are homeless because they've lost a job and didn't have anybody to give them the resources to help them take that next step. Some people are homeless because they have mental health issues. Have you ever seen folks with homeless people with jackets in 100-degree weather, right? They're with blankets and a jacket in 100-degree weather. I remember in Laredo, it'd be 100. One day it was like 114 degrees, and there's homeless people out there as well. And they would be in jackets and a blanket in 100-degree weather. Why is that so? It isn't because they want to carry their jackets around and don't want to lose it. It's because the weight of the jacket and their mental state provides them security, the same way that we would be comforted by an embrace from someone who cares about us when we are struggling in life. Provides them. So the weight of the jacket, the weight of the blanket, provides them a sense of security. There are even weighted blankets. You can go on eBay and buy a weighted blanket. And you can have a weighted blanket because it provides a person who's sleeping under that blanket a sense of security, even though they feel that they're warm. Our responsibility as disciples of Jesus Christ is to help those who are in need. I was in Allison, was a part of a ministry that, like our food pantry, that gave out food. And one day, a man, I'll never forget this, a man drove in an Escalade, and he got out of his Escalade and walked up to the counter and said, "I'm awfully hungry. Do you have anything to eat?" And I could smell alcohol on his breath. And Bud Smith, who was standing next to me, who was president of Community Bank there in Alice, Texas, He went and got a sandwich, a bag of Fritos, and a bottle of water and handed it to the man. And I looked at Bud, and I, after the man left, and I said, "You know, Bud, what's wrong? You know, I mean, you just gave this man, he's driving an Escalade, he's well-clothed." And he says, "My job is not to judge at all, at all, but to offer assistance to a person in need. Because that is what Christ has asked me to do." And so, I give God thanks for Bud for teaching me that lesson that is so valuable for us to remember. It's just so easy for us to pass judgment on somebody who is struggling and suffering through life. And yes, we need to make sure that we can help other people in need, help them find a job, find the resources, the medication, the ability to be able to get out of their particular situation so that they can be productive citizens and provide for themselves, for their family, and their community. However, the truth is that there are people in this world that cannot do that. My friends, I know that there's a judgment, and I don't know what the judgment looks like. But I do know this, that every time in the Scriptures that there is a harsh judgment where people are sent to hell, it is because they did not feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give water to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, and heal the sick. And so we cannot be like the rich man in this parable. We have been warned. Now I know that I'm going to go to heaven. I might be a street sweeper or a doorkeeper in heaven, you know. I may not be sitting right next to Jesus, but, you know, I claim the grace of God in my life, and I will get to heaven. But I pray that God may give not only me, but all of us the humility and the power and the strength to see beyond our limited understanding of suffering in the world so that we might help others. And not to use the arguments that are out there in society to keep us from helping others that are struggling in the world. Jesus Christ did not come into the world to end hunger. Jesus Christ did not come into the world to bring about world peace. Jesus Christ came into the world to transform our hearts and our minds and our lives so that we might bring about security and peace and love and joy in the lives of other people who struggle for some God unknown reason outside of ourselves. So the food bank needs your help. Thus the cart. The food bank needs your help. And here's something else that the missions committee has decided to do. There's a lot of refugees on the border. And there's a lot of children that are struggling on the border. And the Missions Committee has approved the intention of doing a collection of diapers and food and clothing for the whole month of October, so that we can take all that food and clothing to Del Rio, Texas, to help people who are there and in need of assistance. And I'm not going to get into any geopolitical conversations. If you ever look into the eyes of a hungry child, you're not going to question where their alliances are or why they're there. If you ever look into the eyes of a parent who's struggling to try to provide food on the table for their children or to pay the electric bill, you're not going to ask them who they voted for. As disciples of Jesus Christ, it is our responsibility and our obligation to come to the aid of those in need, because our salvation depends upon it. So today, start collecting food. You'll get a list of those food items to bring on the second Sunday of every month. And also bring your change for the Noisy Bucket offering. You'll also get a list of items to bring so that Hal Zesch and Mark Nash and I can take the food and clothing and other items for refugees in Del Rio. Come join me as we work on our salvation with fear and trembling. In the name of the risen Lord, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.